What is up, team? Welcome back to the Red Storm Rapid Reaction Podcast. I'm Pat Kane. Today, kicking it solo for the first time in a while. Don't worry, Cole's fine. He'll be back. I just wanted to jump on here quick today and talk a little bit about what I saw yesterday at St. John's, their open practice on campus for the first time ever. I made the drive down to Queens. If you've listened to this podcast since the beginning, you know I have a very tumultuous past in terms of attending games. I think my overall record lifetime in-house for a St. John's game is 1-11, and it took 10 games to get to that first win. I'm what you call a black cloud just draped over the program. Apologize for that. And I figured in order to wash away those sins and start fresh here with the new era that is Coach Pitino, St. John's, I needed to make it down for the opening practice to stake my claim from the get-go, to be there to see it all unfold and to wash away all the previous, I don't know, sins I must have committed before I became a St. John's fan some 26 years ago. But I'm happy I made the trip. I got to see up close and personal a lot of the players we've been discussing over the summer. We got to see Coach Pitino, you know, right there in the flesh, barking out orders, sharp as a tack, making commands, controlling the practice, you know, from start to finish. And I'm glad I made the trip. Everything I'll say today, let's caveat with the fact that it is just a practice and it's very early on in the season. And, you know, nothing was determined yesterday in terms of who will be the best player on the team, who will get the most minutes, so on and so forth. Those will be continue to be battled out, and the team will continue to flesh out their, you know, the things they need to work on, their offensive sets. Most importantly, if you're listening to Coach Pitino, the defensive tenacity, the defensive instincts, the defensive abilities of the group as a whole, which is seemingly his biggest concern at this point. So, you know, right off the bat, I'll just say if there's one, I'm not going to call it a critique, one thing I would have wished the school made more clear, and it didn't hurt me because I was there right at 1 o'clock, but they advertised this as doors open at 1, event starts at 2. I got there at 1, so I walked in right at 1 o'clock, and that first hour from 1 to 2 was really the best part of the show, I thought. So if you got there at 2 o'clock thinking you were going to see the whole thing, unfortunately, you missed a really good, you know, demonstration. It was a clinic almost of Coach Pitino running through some semi transition drills. They were doing half court, full court, offense, defense stuff, where they were working on their motion offense, and they would go against the half court set and they'd transition back full court, so on and so forth. And Coach Pitino would make decisive comments, make a few notes, would pull guys out, make him go to the exercise bike if he wasn't happy with what they were doing really quick, and then was on to the next play. And it was good to see how intense it was, how fierce it seemed to be for playing time and, you know, moving up the ladder in terms of where the players think they fit amongst the group. And again, just a practice, didn't see any drills, was just strictly 5-on-5, some half court, mostly full court, and then at 2 o'clock, They started a running clock, or actually, you know, it was running clock. They stopped the clock. They started a 20-minute clock, and they played with fouls and free throws and just scrimmaged for 20 minutes. If I had to just only narrow it down to one person who impressed me most, one player who impressed me the most in the, you know, hour and 45 minutes I got to see them yesterday, it would be RJ Lewis. And the PA announcer was saying Lewis. I've been saying Louise this whole summer, so I apologize there. RJ Lewis stood out to me as the most talented guy on the court yesterday. Doesn't mean he's going to be our leading scorer. Doesn't mean he's going to get the most minutes. Doesn't mean he's going to be our best player. He stood out in a lot of different ways. His ability to get into the paint, make plays for others was really on display that first 15 to 20 minutes I was there. He made a handful of nice dump offs, nice thread the needle passes to the big men on the baseline or in the post. He was able to create separation dribbling towards the basket. A lot of other guys seemingly are best dribbling, attacking to score for themselves or to set up a shot for themselves on the perimeter, or Lewis almost has this probing type style where he's able to keep his head up, get in the paint, and then decide, you know, later on in that decision-making process if it's going to be for him or for a teammate. And that's a huge skill to have. It's hard to teach. Not everyone has it. Dennis definitely has it as well. He was making a handful of good passes. But RJ's overall game, his ability to be physical, athletic, defend on the wing, to make plays for others, and he showed off a really good mid-range touch on two or three toughly contested pull-up jumpers that he, you know, nothing but net. Did hit a three, did have a real ugly miss from three, but he wasn't hesitant to take them. But Lewis really stood out to me, and I've been high on him all along, so maybe this is just some confirmation bias on my end. I'd be willing to admit that, but nothing he showed yesterday would make me limit my expectations. If anything, they enhanced him. I was super impressed with his overall game, and I think there's a really good chance he'll be a starter at that three spot. Other than RJ, some other guys who I thought stood out, Chris Ledlam, big time piece, huge addition to the team, adds a dimension that no one else really on the team had, a physical scoring presence from the perimeter, can also mix it up inside with only, you know, Zuby and Joel ahead of him in terms of size wise. There was times yesterday when Chris was playing the five and he didn't give up an inch, you know, space wise or back down wise or strength wise to either Zuby or Joel in any situation I saw. I think, you know, it's not going to be something we do on a large basis. We might not see it for more than 5 minutes ever during a stretch of the game, but there will be times when Chris will be our biggest player out there just by, you know, sheer numbers. We've only got two centers, Zuby and Joel. There could be a case where one of them's injured, one of them's in foul trouble. Who knows? But it's inevitable that there will be a time when Chris could be our starting, or not our starting, but our biggest guy on the court right there. And you don't need to classify him as a center. You just need to know that he would be the biggest guy out there. And I think for a couple minutes here and there, he could hold up defensively and could allow for some really imaginative offensive creativity with him at the five and some forwards like Taylor and Luis and some guards on the court. But it was good to see how well he held up physical wise against those big guys in those few stretches where he was playing the five. And he's got loads of offensive ability, made some good passes, hit some threes, had a really impressive putback dunk that was kind of the highlight of the official scrimmage later on in practice. But those two at the three and the four would be my guess now as to who will be starting in the front court. Zuby played well, didn't back down at all to Joel. A little bit shorter than him, but physically they have, you know, he's got a center's build. You don't look at him and think he's undersized out there. He can battle with the bigs in the conference. I'll be able to do that each day against Joel. And this is something Joel hasn't had these past few years, a huge body like that to go against, to battle each day in practice and to get better with. And while I don't think there's any chance that Zuby will surpass Joel, it is nice to have not only a capable backup, but a guy who does things, who has strengths that are a little bit different than Joel. He's a little bit quicker, a little bit more agile, might be able to defend better on the perimeter for pick and rolls, or, you know, if you want to get aggressive defensively. So not only is he a capable backup, but there might be certain situations where having him out there for Joel might be, you know, an advantage for us or something we might have to do to counter another team. So really liked what I saw out of Zuby. Athletic, could defend at the rim, could run the court. I thought Dennis Jenkins, and, you know, a lot of people have mentioned how well he looked. He's the obvious orchestrator out there, can, you know, get guys going, get them in the right spots. You can tell his mindset's a little bit different than the other guards out there in terms of, you know, making sure everyone else is getting some food before he looks to get his. Not that he's not capable of putting up some points. He did have a nice breakaway dunk, showed off his athleticism. But he'll be a huge piece, you know, not breaking any news here. He's a guy that you need. You need to have some guys who's strength there, you know, their MO is to get other people's involved. And not only did I love what I saw from RJ in that type of scenario, but, you know, the guy bringing the ball up, the point guard, the facilitator, the guy orchestrating it out there, the, you know, the the connection to Patino on the sideline, having Danis out there as a guy who can get people involved in all the offense, is going to be just completely invaluable, and something that will hopefully turn this team from good to great as the season goes on. Some surprising guys, I thought, maybe, that I wasn't expecting to be too impressed with. I thought Ayo in that first half an hour when I got there, when it was more of a controlled scrimmage, really stood out. Heck of a teammate, as loud as anybody in there, working as hard as anybody in there, got himself a few good, easy baskets from simply, you know, running the court as fast as possible. Seemingly always in the right spot, working hard on defense. I don't think it's far-fetched that he could be a contributor in some, you know, instances. He's every bit of 6'7". He's, you know, much more solid than Taylor and Lewis at that same height. If there is a chance where we get a little thin up front and we need to get a little more physical at that four spot and some of our guys are hurt or in foul trouble, I think he can be a figure there who could help out. But not someone who I would just write off as a bench piece. I think there's, you know, some things he might do differently than other players that, you know, as the fifth guy on the court, might be what's necessary, might be what could change the tide of a game. And it's no surprise to me why Coach Pitino wanted him over at this, at St. John's with him. And the other Iona guy who oftentimes gets forgot about, Cruz Davis, looked good as well. I had that feel of just a steadying guard presence. Didn't really wow me with anything. Made some solid plays off the bounce. Was really good defensively. He was kind of stalwart in terms of the pressure defense we saw at points in the scrimmage full court press. He was doing a good job hounding Danis. He was doing a good job, or maybe it was Dingle. He was guarding a lot of time, but physically he can hang with these high major guys. He's got good length, good quickness. I don't know how much of a, you know, scorer he'll ever be, but he did hit a couple, you know, open threes in rhythm. So I liked what I saw out of those two Iona guys who don't figure to be huge contributors this year, but there's some definite long-term potential there with both those guys that was on display yesterday. Jordan Dingle, he didn't light it up, you know, but I thought he played well, played under control, wasn't forcing the issue by any means. He was out there communicating and trying to be, you know, a leader in terms of a ball handler, was running some point out there, had a few really nice passes in some pick and roll situations, finding Joel on the roll. You could tell that he's used to having the ball in his hands, used to scoring. I don't foresee the change in competition being his biggest hurdle. I think he'll be fine there. I think physically he can step up and play against these guys. Talent-wise, he can step up and play against these guys. I just think it'll be a little bit of adjustment for him in terms of not having the ultimate green light that he had at Penn. And not only did he have that ultimate green light, but his teammates knew he had that. So he never had to worry about, you know, passing up an average or okay shot, because for Penn, that was probably a great shot. At St. John's, that will have to be a little bit different. I don't think, I'm not saying that I don't think he's capable of doing this. I'm not saying I think it's a hurdle that will, you know, cause problems. I'm just saying that I wouldn't expect, and I don't think many are, him to score 20 points a game at St. John's. I think he'll take a little bit of dip in terms of his scoring load. Hopefully that comes with being more efficient. But I think, you know, those who might hope him to be like Shamari Pond in terms of scoring 20, 25 points a game on some nights, I don't know if that will be the case at the high major level with more options around him and obviously, you know, better defenses to slow him down. But he looked good in that first 10 minutes when I got there, and I was right there on the sidelines, right behind Coach Pitino, listening to him on the microphone. Dingle had a super tough finish in traffic, jump stop, high off the glass over, I think at that point it was over Joel. Had to use every inch of the backboard, got the fall, and got hit with a got fouled on the way. And I don't think there's another player on the team who could have got into that tight spot, finished under such, you know, defensive presence and had that control to come to a 2 foot stop, use the glass, and finish through the contact. Super excited to see how he, you know, progresses throughout the year. I think he will be our leading scorer. I just wouldn't expect him to be, you know, a 20 point a game guy a night at St. John's. And I don't think many people are expecting that. some of the things just in general, the attention to the detail is just on note, you know, right when you walk in, Cochettino's mic'd up, you can hear him. He's quick with his details. He's quick with his interjections. He doesn't waste time yelling at the guys. He makes his correction. He moves on to the next thing. A lot of the stuff we've heard about, you know, so far and all the press clippings were exactly that. You could see the assistant coaches playing their role. Steve Masillo was kind of the all hands on deck guy on the court, instructing guys, kind of running it as Patino oversaw a lot of it and interjected where appropriate. Van Maken was there doing the rounds. Talik Brown was there. A lot of stuff on the court. Managers on the sidelines, you could see they were documenting some stuff, some stats, some statistics. They were working specifically on their motion offensive sets yesterday, and you could see how they were documenting that to you know, go through their film later on. So it's refreshing. It's relieving to see a coach that is so hands-on, so detail-oriented. It lets us, you know, trust that anything that we might see as fans, and we might clamor for fixes or for improvements, that we are in great hands, the best of hands, and that everything that can be shored up, that can be improved upon, is working to be improved upon by this elite coaching staff. And it was great to see that in person. I would have liked to see a few drills. You know, I would have liked to steal a couple tricks out of Coach Patino's tool bag, but to see these guys up close and personal and compete 5-on-5 was really exciting. Dunlap did not play. He had a little bit of a sore ankle. I thought Simeon Wiltshire looked really good. Hangs with everybody there athletically and physically. He just got to get a little more seasoned, as Coach Patino has mentioned, but he seems like he's willing to put in that work. Hit a nice mid-range jump shot. Looked like he belonged 100%. I think he's probably going to be maybe first guard off the bench to start the season at that 1-2 spot. Naheem Aline didn't stand out, but didn't do anything too poorly. He didn't rain down a bunch of threes, and because of that, he was, you know, a lot of times just on the you know, the outside looking in, doing the small things, being in the right spot defensively. But he's a strong dude. You could see how hard it was for perimeter guys to get by him and go into the basket because he holds his ground so well. Who else? Sean Conway hit a few shots in the actual scrimmage later on when the clock was running. Looked like he knows exactly where to be. Never once did he get called out by coach for not doing the right thing. He might have been the only guy yesterday who didn't get called out at one point or another from Coach Patino. Smart, heady guy. Capable of hitting open shots, capable of being in the right spots, and doesn't seem to me like, you know, he was overmatched physically to the point where you couldn't have him out there defensively. So some good stuff from him. Joel, I think maybe if anything, we're just, you know, hurt by how well we know he's capable of playing. Did he have his best practice yesterday? No, but he still, you know, had close to a double-double in the 20 minutes in the scrimmage, was finishing with dunks around the rim, had a couple jump shots, also took few questionable shots, my opinion, but this is the time for him to work through that, to show what he's capable of, and for Coach Patino to kind of reel him in either direction. Feel like I'm missing somebody else. Glenn Taylor. He looks like the real deal out there. I mean, he moves like a high major athlete. He's got the size and the athleticism, probably maybe the best pure athlete on the team in terms of size, length, jumping, quickness, athletic ability. It might be him. I think he's a little bit behind Lewis in terms of his offensive ability, his refinement, his skills, but he's a better athlete than Lewis, and he might be a better possible guy in terms of defensive shutdown wing or playing up defensively, physical-wise. I think he adds a little bit different dimension than Lewis, but a lot of times we might see those guys as interchangeable parts. He hit a three, played good defense. He's got a really good handle for a guy his size. It'll be interesting to see where he finds his most minutes, but he didn't play poorly by any stretch. Drissa hit a three, plays his ass off, works hard, more of an interior presence than Io. You know, those guys might be fighting for that deep bench four spot, and Drissa's more of a physical presence, where Io is more of an athlete up and down guy. They're both about 6'7". But you know, Drissa and I are both, you can see they have a big impact, a positive impact on practice, and we don't get to see that often and what that might mean to a team. And it does, it's important. So to have two guys like that willing to work hard, willing to push the interior guys, willing to being able to play different positions is, you know, very beneficial to the overall team construction. What else? Anything else come to mind? I got a chopped cheese down the street. It was pretty good. Campus was, you know, from what I saw, looked really nice. Beautiful day out there. Too bad the campus store was closed on a Sunday. Would have got some apparel. But I think this was an overall great event. I mean, if you're a kid, a young kid, you got to show up today and get autographs by the players. I mean, that's a memory you're going to have forever, and you're going to be St. John's fans forever. I was instilling those that fandom in young kids is huge. Raising money for NIL is huge. The exposure, I mean, I drove 3 hours down to watch practice. So even if it wasn't a packed house, there's people who are excited about St. John's basketball in a sense they haven't been before. And it's encouraging all around. This practice for me just, you know, accentuates how excited I am for the season to start. I'm going to do a way too early projection on the starting five. This can go anyway from this point to the start of the season. Players might prove themselves, guys might get banged up. But if it were tomorrow, I think the starting five would be Danis at the one, Dingle at the two, Lewis at the three, Ledlam at the four, and Joel at the five. Plenty of different options. You could, you know, maybe consider Taylor or, I don't know, Taylor at the three. You could consider Reagan and Wilcher starting three guards. There's a few different options here, but I think Joel's pretty obvious. Danis is pretty obvious. Dingle, it's pretty obvious. Lewis, in my mind, has shown he's the most capable of the small forwards. Not to say that Naheem or Taylor couldn't prove me wrong there. And Ledlam is the obvious choice if we're going to start a conventional power forward at the four spot. We do have depth. We do have talent. We'll see some guys step up to more clearer roles. We'll see some guys fall back to less defined roles as the season goes on. But again, guys, it's nice to know we've got the sure hands of Coach Rick Pitino on the case. Anyway, guys, thank you all for listening. Thank you for subscribing, for tuning in. Thanks to Cole for helping out all throughout the summer. Cole's going to be on basically every podcast I do moving forward, so please give him a follow. The two of us do a lot of work to bring this stuff, but I really, you know, it's something I enjoy doing. So if you could send a like, send a subscribe, we appreciate that. For Anthony Mason Jr., this has been Pat Kane, the Red Storm Rapid Reaction Podcast. Peace.